In our last segment today, we invited a special guest into the studio here at KRCC, Ed Parsons, a.k.a. Archtop Eddie. Archtop's been playing music here in Colorado Springs for decades. First time I saw him was with his reggae group, Raku, back in the 70s. Great, great experience. He's also formed groups that involve gypsy jazz, ensembles like Mango Fan Django, the Surfin' Djangos, and most recently, his latest thing is a rock steady ska band he's calling Mo Mungus.
You know, Jeff, what's so cool about Ed is he has a real intellectual interest in the history of music. He knows so much about the genres that he explores and plays.
And the cultures that they come from.
We could have talked to him about a myriad of things. We could have talked so much about many other genres, but we had him focus in on reggae music. You know, it's summertime, and what better match for the summer than reggae music? So I asked him to give us a little lesson on the history of that genre and explain why he loves it so.
Okay, here we go. Ed Parsons, a.k.a. Archtop Eddie, speaking with music director here at KRCC, Miss Vicki Gregor.
That girl gonna make a mind if it takes some night.
Something I know you and I have had a conversation about before. Sometimes when people think about reggae music, they simplify in their mind what they think a reggae beat is, but you've actually explained to me in very beautiful detail what you're listening for and what you're playing against when you're in a reggae band. And I think that's what people heard in Raku. It was more than just like, hey, a reggae band, a good time. It was really beautifully done music that was very authentic. Now, you write all the way through this, too, with all of your bands. You've recorded, you've put bands together, you've been a band leader, you write. And so my question there is, trying to be original and authentic within a genre that's been so beautifully defined, how do you write? What's your process to sit down and compose your own stuff?
You know, it's kind of interesting to point that out because on one hand, I'm not Jamaican, and yet I've written a lot of stuff in that genre. I'm not a gypsy, and yet I've written stuff in that genre. And then also jump blues and that stuff, you know. I guess in some ways I'm lucky because I spent so much time growing up in Japan, I didn't really feel like I had a certain set genre or something that I had to stay within.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as how do I write within that, reggae came to me, writing reggae came rather easily to me because it's a feel situation with reggae. You know, I've thought a lot about what that means, the feel of reggae music. And for all the different instruments that are playing and percussions and everything else that's going on, it almost all comes down to one thing in reggae, and that's off the three. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three. The reason I say that is because that's where they usually put the one drop, which is a style of drumming where everything hits together on the three.
Okay.
And so if you're following along from the three, then you can just move to that. You're not trying to move to every sound you hear. You're just moving to that count of four with the emphasis on the three. And ultimately, you can peel away everything from it, which is what dub music is. Peels away the vocals and peels away different things and goes into abstractions of various sorts, but it's staying with the feel. And so you could actually peel it all away. That's what I think is so cool about it. You could get rid of every single thing, including the drums, and have silence and still be feeling it internally. And so once you know that, then that's how you listen to reggae music. To me, anyways. You know, other people probably feel differently about it. But for me, that's how I started listening to reggae music. to me, it was kind of similar to like if you were taking the concept of Gnosticism in religion, which basically means the knowing of God versus the believing in God. And Rasta once said, believing is 50% doubt. And so if you know something, you don't even have to have it there to know it. And that's what I think is just wonderful about reggae.
Beautiful explanation of reggae. And that unwritten thing that speaks to people that they might not even realize that's what they're feeling, that's what's in their heart, that's... You know, that's where you get wide-eyed and think, oh my gosh, it's my DNA is resonating here.
You bring me joy in the morning.
I realized that I was very interested in early reggae. And I didn't really have any idea what to call it other than early reggae. And Dave Gwynn, who's the drummer for my band, he said, oh man, what you like is rock steady. So boom, I go and start studying about rock steady. And it turns out rock steady only lasted 18 months from 1966 to 68. And it was after that it became reggae music. And so what you have is in that period of contemporary popular Jamaican music, you had ska music that started around 1960. In 66, it in the summer, all of a sudden it became rock steady.
Oh, oh look what the good Lord for us has done. Oh, each day he gives us the rising sun.
And then by 68, end of 68, it was starting to be reggae music. I just loved that little period of music, and I only to come and realize that some of the older Jamaican people consider that their golden age of contemporary Jamaican music is the rock steady period. So I like to call it the sweet spot between ska and reggae. It's rock steady. In terms of what rocksteady music or reggae or ska comes from, is historically there was the ska music in the early 60s, and ska music, many people associate that with what we call the third wave of ska music, which was bands like Madness and the Specials from the 80s, and many people were first exposed to ska at that point. But that music had a tendency to be really influenced by punk music and some of the harder music. So whereas that kind of music might go something like really hard, like that, you know? And the Jamaican music that it was influenced from, which is from 1960 or a good, what was it, 20 years earlier maybe, okay? The Jamaican music was a little lithier sounding, and My Boy Lollipop would be a good example of it. But so let me see if I can do, it would be something like... So it would have a feel like that in order to do that kind of early ska music. But in 1966, the story goes that it was such a hot summer that people didn't want to dance to ska anymore because it was a little bit faster. And so they slowed the music down to half speed. So ska, rock steady really essentially is that same sound, but at half the speed. So now with ska again... rock steady. Now, why that was so important is because ska was going so fast that the only way to really play bass to ska was pretty much a walking bass, like in bebop, jazz. It's about the only way to play the bass is some kind of walking thing. And the drums just kind of hang in there. But when the music slowed down, two really important things happened to those instruments. One, the bass was now, instead of just doing a walking bass line, it was now able to do actually patterns. Like that. And the drums was able to put in that critical one drop at the three. Pop. And that's what kind of defined it. Now, by the time it got to reggae, it actually even slowed down more, and the predominance of the bass and the one drop became even more so, and that was essentially the birth of what we know as reggae today. See, it'd be more like, and they usually went to regular major chords. So there you go. That's ska, rocksteady, and reggae.
So that was Vicky Gregor speaking with Ed Parsons, a.k.a. Archtop Eddie of the bands Raku, Momungus, Surfin' Django's, Mango Fandango. To hear that interview again, you can head to krcc.org. Aircheck is a production of KRCC in Colorado Springs. For KRCC, I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicky Gregor.
And I'm Jeff Beery.